Hey guys, and welcome back to the Bonus Level Podcast. This is level 15. You've made it this far. I am, of course, am one of your co-hosts, Jack, alongside me, as usual, the lovely, the wonderful Luch and Josh.
What's up?
And we have a exciting, interesting episode for you this week. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things from, I don't know if you guys saw recently, Bandersnatch and Bird Box are at the top of the movie world on social media, and we're going to be discussing those. But before we get into that, Luch, how was your day today? What did you do today?
My day today? Well, I woke up, I got coffee, I went to a work meeting, and then I worked, and then I came home.
Thrilling. You lead every man's dream life, sir. And thank you for that. For sharing. I've been kind of nipping at the bud to talk about this. I wanted to even bring it up last week during our recap episode, but we kind of saved it, right? Because we wanted to have a full-on discussion.
Yeah.
So Bird Box released, what, a few weeks ago now, and I think it's been out, it's just over 2 weeks. And I know, you guys obviously, have you both seen it?
I watched it today.
What's Bird Box? Josh just saw it. Luch, you watched it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. So we've all seen it now. And it just so for everybody that's not familiar, I mean, I really feel like if you don't know or you haven't heard of it, you had to be under a rock somewhere. Because even if you
own Netflix, which means.
Well, no, but it's not saying like that you haven't seen it. Because I mean, there's plenty of people that haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like that kind of that genre just isn't for you. But you had to have heard about it, whether you've been on social media just for a second. True. You've seen memes, you've seen posts, you've seen
people. I mean, I think like Bird Box is along the lines of like Game of Thrones now. Like, you have to see it.
You're going a little far now.
Talking about going a little far.
No. No,
on the lines of Game of Thrones. You can literally go to Spencer's and buy the freaking blindfolds.
That's funny, actually. People are just cashing in on everything. So it's been out for a few weeks, right? And, you know, in the first week, Netflix posted the stats, and they posted that 45 million accounts watched Bird Box. 45 million accounts. That's individual accounts, right? So that doesn't take into account four people that share one account.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they had to at least watch 70% of the movie.
70%. That's what they say. It counts as one view.
That's crazy. 70%
of the runtime.
And yeah, Netflix never releases their information too.
No.
And like from a census, like what last year they said that they had like 167 million subscribers. So mm-hmm. that means at least, you know, a quarter of them watched this thing
in the first week. I mean, that's first in the first week. 7 days. So I mean, that is, man, you know, that is a lot of people that have seen this movie.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get into kind of a little bit more about not only the movie, but like the campaign, the network campaign, and the basically the social media blasting behind that really like skyrocketed it up in a little bit. But I just wanted everybody to know. So if you haven't seen the movie, right, and you're listening, this is where you decide whether you're going to proceed, you know, at your own risk. We're going to be talking about not only Bird Box, but then another one of Netflix originals that came out just a couple weeks ago as well. Bandersnatch, one of the Black Mirrors, brand new episode, Choose Your Own Adventure. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. And so there's going to be plenty of spoilers. So if you haven't seen either one of these movies, you know, again, proceed at your own discretion here.
Kids are the monsters.
Pause the episode, go watch them real quick, then come right back.
And then we can talk about it.
And then you'll be caught right up. You'll be able to go with us. It'll only take you, you know, a couple hours out of your day.
No, exactly. But yeah, so this is the part where you're going to want to do that right now. I'll give you a second to reach for the pause button. And
John Malkovich is the Satan.
So Bird Box, right? So for those of you that aren't familiar at all, is a drama, as a horror, like a sci-fi, right? Starring
would you consider it more of a thriller?
It is a thriller, but it's labeled as a drama horror.
I was not thrilled at any point during that movie.
I wasn't that thrilled. So Sandra Bullock, John Malkovich is in it. So Sandra Bullock is like one of my old-time favorite actors, like actresses back from like Speed, you know, Miss Congeniality, The Net, you know, in the 90s. So really, really solid actress. She has looked the same for the past 30 years. It's ridiculous. God.
Dude, that's what I was texting Jack today. I'm like, dude, she has some freaky genetics, like the LeBron James of MILF.
I mean, is it genetics though?
It's ridiculous.
No, it's called, is it genetics? It's called plastic surgery.
Is it genetics? Let's be real. Sandra Bullock, if you're listening to this, please like our podcast.
Right. And just she's so you know, the short, yeah, right. The short little premise is 5 years after an ominous unseen presence drives most of society to suicide, a mother and her two children make a desperate bid to reach safety. So that's just like the little short premise. What did you guys think about it?
Well, I'm going to give everybody the synopsis right now. I'm going to give you a short discussion on how the movie actually went. If you guys have ever seen a movie and you've been leaning at your seat, screaming at the TV, telling the people what they're doing is completely wrong, Bird Box is pretty much the embodiment of that.
So it's so it goes back to what I always say about horror films, right? Typical horror logic.
It's idiot. You don't let anybody in. I don't care who it is. Yeah. Jack's got the right idea. What were you going to do during a zombie apocalypse, Jack?
I mean, do you want me to give away my strat?
We were discussing this over a bonfire.
I know. I mean, I feel like this lets in a little piece of my character for those listening, and I'm not sure that I'm ready to share that with them.
But guys, to those of our early viewers, right, those who are going to be with us till we, you know, reach 1.5 million subscribers, don't come and visit us. We will not.
There's an apocalypse. Let me just put it to you this way. If there's an apocalypse, the only people that are being saved in my establishment, whether it's my house or wherever I'm holed up in, are the people that I love and the people that I care about. And if you're not one of
those
people,
which will be me and Josh and select few.
If you're not one of those people, don't come try to get help from me. Because there's only two people that survive in an apocalypse of any sort. The Jack's assholes and the dead. And one of those isn't surviving, so...
Jack is pretty much John Malkovich in this movie, and you'll see why.
And actually, I can see myself in him in like 20 years.
He is incredible. I love him so freaking much. Like,
John Malkovich.
Just John Malkovich as a person, as an actor, like him in this movie. I just, every single scene that he was in, I was like, I freaking love this guy. Like, he makes me happy to see him in movies.
He's the voice of reason through the movie. He's definitely the one.
Through half of the movie.
Okay. Well, there's our first spoiler. And
he runs demise,
away. And it's a good point because his demise comes at the hands of somebody else being stupid and not following the rules.
AKA fat pregnant girl. Sheltered.
You always have the nice people, right? You have the nice people in these situations that are like, no, we should help them. Oh, they're just innocent. And then you have the reasonable people that are like, bitch, we're surviving in here. You let them out there because if they come in here, there's a chance we don't all survive in here.
Yeah.
So, yes. But yeah, so Josh, why don't you give your, because I know that you said you enjoyed it, right? But you have a little bit of like...
So because we had already discussed that we were wanting to have our thing, you know, surrounding everything to do with this kind of stuff, I watched it very, you know, intently today, where I was looking for different things that I liked, what things I didn't like, you know. And like you said, I mean, as far as the acting goes in it, was incredible. Like, they did such a good job of with casting and everything. The love story was incredible. You know, you really felt like all that stuff felt very true. It felt very forced or anything like that. That there was a lot of that stuff that was really, really good. I had a lot of bones to pick with it that we won't even go down that that row or anything. But I mean, to me, like, so I was enjoying it while watching it, you know, where it was keeping me entertained. And it's, I don't know, it's hard to say like what a definition is of a good movie or anything like that, because like I said, I kind of enjoyed it while I was watching it. But then when I got done with it, I looked back and I was like, I'm not happy. I don't like how you know, different things ended. I don't like how things played out in this way. I wish things would have gone different down this path. You know, to me, it was very much a Quiet Place too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it.
See, the Quiet Place had monsters were on fleek. Okay.
Yeah.
They killed it. All right. And the main bad guy being the Rusty Nail.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did you guys see like the article with the baby face, what the monster actually looked like?
Yes.
Like, did you see the picture of it though?
Yes.
So what is that?
But they didn't show it. That's why they didn't show it. Cause they didn't test well. So they decided not to show it.
That thing right there is my worst fear. I don't need to see anything else right there. Those things are probably the most pathetic creatures on the planet walking around just because of how ugly they are. It's like that SpongeBob episode. His breath smelled so bad, people thought he was ugly.
But I mean, like, why I compare it to A Quiet Place, or to me, it's very similar to even how Signs was. That it was, you know, you're kind of locked to a small area that the whole movie takes place. You have one thing, either like in one, you can't talk. In this one, you're not supposed to see. If you do, death comes pretty quick. It's not like you can get away with looking for even, you know, a couple seconds before, you know, shit starts going crazy. Then you also, and I'm not sure at what point, I feel like it was Game of Thrones that was the first time with Sean Bean getting killed that we had that major character get killed. Now all the time in movies, we're having to see
he's not dead.
Main people get killed.
Yeah.
You know, that I almost, like at the end of the movie, I'm like, you know, people could do heroic things. And I don't know, like it kind of goes both ways, where if you have a lot of people make it out at the end, it's like, okay, that's cheesy too. You know, this is too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also like, if you start killing off too many people and it's like, you know, do I really feel good about this at the end? Like, am I happy on how things ended? Like that, that was something that I was fighting. I mean, especially like just going back to A Quiet Place, you know,
even how like certain someone was able to completely ignore the thing's control.
I like how that whole scene played out. I thought that scene was incredible. The same the way with John Krasinski in A Quiet Place, that scene where he finally breaks the rule, since I'm chills are going down my spine and my arms just thinking about that scene. It was incredible the way that they did it. But then at the same time, he's gone, and it's sad at the end of the movie. I want, you know, I guess I have to understand that not every movie am I going to have that happy, you know, feeling at the end of things.
Here's the thing, Josh, like every single apocalyptic movie that involves children, the children will live and then one person will survive. Mm-hmm. There has never been an apocalypse. I would love to see an apocalyptic movie where everybody survives toward the end. That would have been great. If they can make that entertaining, they are one hell of a writer.
Yeah.
But if people, they can only make it entertaining because people die, and then there's going to be a heartfelt.
And that's where I feel like it's kind of almost trying to be, where it's like, we need to be edgy, we need to be dark, we need to give people that when they walk away from the movie that they're
that's
whoa,
why like, things,
you know,
like The Walking Dead are so popular, because you have characters they can watch throughout the show. I mean, still half of the characters are alive from that dang thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but you go and watch 28 days later. Pfft, well, no one's surviving that one.
Yeah.
Like, what about a movie where like they just follow an apocalyptic setting, like Mad Max it, but with like a group?
Friggin' Zombieland.
Okay, first of all,
Zombieland was incredible because of those different things. Like, you had a crew of people that was just like, we're going to be badasses and kill things. Like, it was
Bill Murray literally died in that movie. Literally Bill Murray himself.
He was not a main character though.
Yeah. He wasn't. Not even close.
No. He stole the movie. He was incredible, but he did what he came to do and it was absolutely perfect. But the rest of the characters that were in it, like, it was really good. You didn't need to have, you know, was it Jesse Eisenberg or whatever at the end die to get the point
I
across.
You mean Mark Zuckerberg?
Okay. Yeah, right. You know, or anything like that. Like, I thought that that was fine.
Woody Harrelson makes a great zombie execution.
Oh, he's a great everything. He's a person like Malkovich that's just incredible. And I know I'm a little bit, you know, long-winded here and everything. So, but I'll probably get to some more of mine. One of my bigger complaints, though, is the very end, which I don't know if we want to get to that now or if we want to get to that later.
No, we can.
Yeah,
but like, okay, so in A Quiet Place and in Signs, in both those movies, you have, well, like I said, my whole thing of where it kind of, for me, parallels with Signs is the fact if you have a monster, it's a thriller, there's a family inside a house, you know, not sure what's going on and everything. And
well, are you comparing Quiet Place and Signs?
That and Bird Box, like all those type movies is what I'm comparing
but
it to.
But is Signs a part of those?
What?
I mean, what do you mean?
It's very similar.
I mean, but like, you know, Bird Box and A Quiet Place, you know, Quiet Place takes away your sound, Bird Box takes away your sight. What did Signs take away?
Well, it wasn't taking away anything, but it was still a it's a monster movie with a family trapped inside a house. Yeah. Is basically what I'm getting at here. And so but in A Quiet Place and in Signs, in both of them, at the end of the movie, you were left with some hope because they had found a solution.
Yeah.
You mean 75% of the planet was poisoned to them?
Exactly. That could be one thing. But just the fact, we'll get on a Signs debate. I will debate you guys till the end of time on that movie. I think that movie is freaking fantastic, and I could tell you every reason on why you're wrong if you disagree with me, because that movie is incredible. But let's just go with The Quiet Place on this one, because I think we're all in agreeing that movie was awesome. But at the end of that movie, when you had different people sacrifice their lives, there was hope at the end of it because they had found something that could help them in the long run, that could help them defeat what they were dealing with.
Yeah.
In this movie, there wasn't that at all. It was like, okay, so we got to the next place. Like, they're like, what now? I mean, they seem to be in a pretty secluded area, but of course the monster could still get there.
No, the monsters couldn't get there because of all the birds they had there.
Well, the birds, yeah. So, I mean, but
the birds were just warnings, though. They could still.
They didn't,
well,
they,
hold on. No, they, one thing I want to say is that have you guys noticed that the monsters couldn't go in any buildings? They didn't enter in any buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed
that. Yeah, because they were just passive creatures.
The movie didn't really do that as passive.
Yeah, they did. They didn't try to, like, they didn't go in and inside. As soon as they got inside.
At the end of that, man, those things were charging.
They were chasing them because they wanted them to see. But they weren't going in the building.
Right, then they're just the biggest dicks on the planet then.
I mean, the movie is based on a book, and in the book they're portrayed as way more passive than they were in the movie. You really only interacted with them if you ran into them outside.
Yeah.
They didn't come after you.
But they were running into them. Those things were like
chasing them.
Galloping at them. But I mean, and like, you've guys heard of the sequel, right? From the creators of Bird Box and A Quiet Place comes a new film, Bird Place, where it's not your sight or sound that's taken, but your smell. Can you escape the ferocious beasts?
Okay.
Like, is that going to be a new thing? No. I swear, next movie's going to be about smell.
No.
If you smell it, you die.
Whoever smelt it, Delta.
Yeah. Poison gas.
And stuff. Yeah.
I can see. Well, wasn't that the Mark Wahlberg one where if
the
you
happening.
Breathe the air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the happening.
See? It's already, yeah. So, Luch, you're wrong. That one's already happened.
Right. Well, that wasn't really smell. That was just like if you inhale any of
taste.
The pathogens. Taste. Yeah. There you go. That was taste.
But no, so like at the end of the movie, they get to, you know, a place. They, you know, you at least, there was. It was a good scene, you know, like everything kind of felt good. But then at the same time, I was looking at it, I was like, the outside world is still no better than it was 5 minutes ago. There is no more hope. There's hope for this one family to be able to last a month, maybe two, depending on how much they have in supplies. But they're still, like, to do anything, you're sending blind people on food runs. And there's still, like, one of my favorite thing about the movie was the crazies, mm-hmm. the people that wanted you to see it. That I love. That was such a great idea to have thrown in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it catches you off guard. It's just insane. I love it so much. I have a lot of questions about it. just because, like, they seem to have a very programmed mind. Like, their mind is programmed to do one thing, and that's to make people see or something like that. So it's hard to think, like, at the end of the day, like, them going to eat or even going to the bathroom. Like, I feel like they're so dumbed down that they would just take a shit right where they're standing and then continue on. You know, like, they don't seem like they would go back to their family or go even to a house to go sleep in a bed, that they would just not sleep and that their bodies would eventually break down from no sleep and not enough food.
See, I don't agree with you, because the guy that came to the house, the guy that ended up being crazy, he pretended like everything was good.
Well, and that was something that I was trying to figure out. Like, I couldn't tell if it was some sort of, like, it was in there, but was waiting to come out and needed a trigger. No,
he was crazy before he got
what? I could kind of see that, but it didn't seem like he was faking being nice when he was in there.
No. He definitely was crazy when he got in there, because remember, he had a briefcase full of drawings that he already prepared.
Yeah.
That he had. But I mean,
like,
yeah.
So I'm saying, like, yeah, he could have been infected, and there could have been some wacky stuff in there. But when he came into the house, he seemed very genuine. He didn't seem when they interacted with him at other points, like when they were in the grocery store, that guy that was banging on the door, he had a one track line that he knew that he could say, and that was basically it. He just kept doing that same thing. It was very robotic. You know, we're like, that guy is someone that I'm using as an example here.
Yeah, but he was a different robot. Like,
what does he do? Does he just do that till? Yeah, but does he do that till 9 o'clock at night and they go, okay, no one's coming, I'm going to go home now and go to sleep in my bed, and then I'll go back to the grocery store and bang on that door again tomorrow?
No, he was locked.
But I mean, again, he wasn't there for a long time.
He was locked in there. I thought.
He wasn't locked.
I thought that was like the
door
back
to the outside.
I thought it was like the back.
No. It was the
loading dock area.
Yeah, but the loading dock door was open. And he just killed someone with a knife. You saw, like, the fresh dead body there.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, that kind of thing I thought was interesting. But like I said, I really, really loved that concept of having them, you know, the mesmerized look in their eye, like, it's so beautiful, you need to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, that I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and how they didn't see his Cthulhu, you know, ridden eyes with his, that his entire iris was covered in tentacles. They didn't notice that.
I don't know. But I do have a complaint about the bird box. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
How did the birds survive
the rat?
Well, they obviously didn't, because those were CGI birds at the end. So they were So they were totally dead. But the other thing is, it's like, they carried the birds around with them. They were holding it with them the whole time. Never once did the thing seem to back away because they had birds with them.
The birds were, like,
the birds were just an alarm. Yeah,
they were an alarm.
Yeah, but even
that's
with that,
the,
like,
guy wasn't afraid of them.
I feel like it was a really crappy alarm, just because, like, they knew what was going on. Like, it, I don't know. It felt
no. They were supposed to.
Let them know they had to be pretty close. Yeah, so you could see or not.
I know, but I don't know. I felt like they knew that they were in danger well before the birds were, like, really, watch out, you know, or anything like that.
Here's one thing that bothers me. Here's one thing that bothers me about it. So how is it that, so what, do you think there's a distance on how far you see them? Like, if you see them on a horizon, is that also it for you?
I think that it's just no matter what. Yeah, like, no matter where you see them.
Yeah.
Far away,
so, like, even if they were a speck. Like, how is it that the human brain perceived it? Because one thing I didn't understand is why their eyes changed.
Yeah, I think that just has to do with supernatural shit.
But again, like in the book, they were creatures. Like, they took on your worst fear, but I don't know what having your eyes change into some weird cosmic, you know, whatever was going on.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it translated well in the movie. Like, it looked at the very first scene in the movie when they're driving in the car, and then all of a sudden her sister's eyes kind of glaze over and everything. Like, that was like, bam, like you're getting hit by a truck instantly watching that movie. Like, oh shit, things are getting really real fast. Like, that was done really well. Mm-hmm.
So the only thing, again, that bothers me is there's no explanation on the creatures. None. Okay? Didn't explain anything about them. And I understand that, but The Quiet Place at least explained the monsters in a great way.
They didn't explain them at all. They didn't explain them. They just explained,
at the end,
they
just explained it, what it was. Visually, though.
They showed them, that's all. They didn't explain it.
Yeah, but still, like, seeing the monster gave you a clear idea of, like, you know, how did they move so fast? You know, you saw their hind legs and, you know, their gangly arms. You saw the scythe blades on their arms. And then you see, like, you know, how they sense people around them, you know, with their weird fibrous mouth. What's it called? The demigorgon type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, but in A Quiet Place, like, you know, as I was talking to Jack about it, I honestly would have thought it would have been a lot better if it was, again, like a Cthulhu type thing. Like, at least there's a mythos beyond that says, like, you know, if you stare at Cthulhu, you go insane and kill yourself.
But well, these I think things, that's kind of like where the premise was. Like, that's where, you know, where it was getting from.
But at least, you know, at a book or something, or when they were talking to that Charlie guy, that was his name, right? In the beginning, the guy with the glasses was his name, Charlie.
In the beginning,
the guy that worked at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can't.
He was explaining to him what it is. If he was like, oh my god, you know, this reminds me of Cthulhu, but no, they went on this entire other religious, you know, escapade with that. See, it just, they didn't explain anything as to why your eyes did that, why they died, you know, and it was only a guess that they showed you your worst fear. That's it.
Yeah, but I mean.
But, and that was the thing, like, I don't even think it was showing you your worst fear.
Yeah.
Because you had
it was like, it was showing you your, it was showing you the thing that you were scared of the most to the point of, like, that would make you not want to live.
But
like, and that's just,
I
like,
don't know. I didn't like, get that impression from watching.
There's too many whys for me on that one. Like, at least at The Quiet Place, there wasn't a why. It was just like, oh, well, it's a monster that runs super fast, senses people, and kills you with scythe.
All right. So
that's it.
All right. I'm gonna bring this, the discussion of your opinions around to a halt.
Okay.
So that we can move forward on the actual, discussion of, like, why this thing just all of a sudden just erupted in flames, you know, all over the world.
Yeah, I forgot what
you're
talking about.
But, no, it's fine. I actually didn't even get to give my synopsis because you guys did such a good job.
No, I would love to hear yours before we got into anything. I want to know, like, because like I said, I didn't want to just crap on the movie the whole time. No. I did enjoy it, but then at the end, I was still going, like, I wish I could have left that movie feeling a little bit happier, like there was some hope for things, where when I thought about things logically and rationally, I was like, they're still fucked. Like,
yeah,
I know that we're ending the movie here, but like, things aren't getting any better, because obviously, I mean, like, the movie takes place over 5 years, 6 years, something like that. Yeah. That it's like, things are still the same at that point, and you're getting to a new spot now. That it's not like they get there and they're like, hey, we have a solution that we're going to be doing this once, you know, someone shows up.
Right.
So
like, I don't know.
And I'm not going to bash it too much either. Bird Box was a great movie, but like, the ending for me was kind of like what Jack experienced in the movie theater. I just heard a big, huh. Yeah. And that was it. Yeah.
No, see, and that's the thing is that, in that reference there, you know, you're talking about It Comes at Night. There was so many things left out of that movie that reaction at the end was completely justified. I think that both of you are looking at this, and I think Josh, you're only guilty of it because you you were like, oh, I need to watch this so we can discuss it. So you looked at it kind of critically, you know, kind of like how I normally like view something. But when it comes to horror films, I expect shitty writing. I expect shitty behavior and choices from the cast because that's just the way they do things when they write, because they need, you know, if everybody was super smart, if everybody did things the way they should, like nothing would ever happen because they would just survive and that would be it. So they need plot devices. They need people to be stupid and irrational. And that's why they do that. I think to answer all your questions as far as like, you know, why was, you know, this not discussed? Why was this not explained? Why did they do X, Y, and Z? Yeah, they're still probably going to be boned at the end. Like, I don't think any of that really mattered so much because the story itself, it's not even like what I'm trying to say is they could have died at the end, right?
And yeah,
it would have been the same. The movie would have been the same. The whole thing was more about it happens and then the time and the journey. Like, it was more about Sandra Bullock's character experiencing, she you know, at the beginning she finds, you know, she's pregnant, she doesn't even want to have the kid at all, she's super like anti people, she's anti love, you know, yada yada yada. And then you fast forward, you know, this terrible stuff has happened, but now she's found love, now she has two kids, and she doesn't she's still disconnected from them, even though it's been 4 years, you know, since they, you know, they're growing up, and she's still disconnected to them. She's calling them girl and she's calling them boy. And, you know, at the end, she has this revelation of like, no, like, the, you know, this is what life is actually like. This is what it's supposed to be. You know, this is what I should care about. And so then she gives them names and whatever. So, yeah, they could die in the next year. Right. Because, you know, these people, it's a school for the blind in the middle of the forest. Like, what are they really going to do except for continue living the way that they had been? And, you know, maybe they live, you know, and for a while, or maybe not. But the point of the movie, and I think you can't read too far past it, is that it's just more about the actual story and the journey that she goes
through. No, I completely understand what you're saying there. Like, yeah, watching her character go through everything that it did, the transitions and the transformation, everything was really, really cool. Like I said, my main thing was getting to the end of it and going, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel happy. Like I said, I enjoyed the whole movie. Watching it, like, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm enjoying it. I'm not going like, this movie's stupid, I want to turn it off.
Yeah.
But then at the end, I felt unsatisfied, I think was my main thing.
Exactly. 100%.
That's my only, you know, thing. Because, yeah, it sucks, you know, with what they do to dads all the time in different movies. That dads seem to... Like, the big thing for dads in movies, and this is just all different types of them, is that they're constantly being forced to make the ultimate sacrifice for the families. And it's like, okay, I see that. It is really powerful. It will bring you to tears almost every single time that you see it, because it's incredible to just view. But at the same time, it's like, God damn it, I want someone to make it out.
Yeah,
like, at the same time, dad. Like, I would almost rather, when Sandra Bullock's knocking on the door, that they open it up and they rip everyone's blindfolds off and everyone's just fucked. And it's like a big fuck you to every fan that was watching the movie and go like, ha ha, gotcha. Like, that kind of mind fucked at the end of the movie, would, my jaw would drop to the ground and be like, this movie was incredible because I did not see that coming. Like, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
You know what I would have liked to have seen?
Yes.
So, also, one thing, I totally thought she was going to sacrifice the girl, by the way, on the rapids. Totally thought. Anyways, but like if you saw like someone got, you know, captured, right? As they were trying to kill themselves from seeing one of these things, what happens is being alive for too long after seeing one do to you. I'd kind of like to see what
happens. You mean like if you're just restrained to the point where you can't?
Yeah, if you restrain someone to where they could not kill themselves. I know there's many ways you can kill yourself, you know, biting off your tongue, yada, yada. But I would like to know, like, what happens, like, if
I don't think
you literally...
Yeah, I don't think you could ever, like, do it fast enough, you know what I mean? Like, you would have to have a straight jacket and a mouthpiece ready, like, and, like, as soon as the guy went out.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I would like to know, like, what happens. Like, maybe they become one of those things.
Maybe.
I don't know. I would think something probably like a seizure or a heart attack or something. Just their body can't handle the convulsions and the just the I mean, you're trying to break out of something so much that you would probably strain or rip parts of your body. Yeah, something like that is what I would assume. But of course, it being a movie, it could be any, you know, anything that they make it out to be.
But
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, and overall, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I thought it was good. I thought the adaptation from book to movie, I've never read the book, but from what I have read of the book, I thought that they did a lot of things well from what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
So they left some things out and changed a few things, but that's just what happens when it goes to, you know, to movie. But it was, the acting was excellent, and I think that's really what makes it stand out. Like, Sandra Bullock was great. John Malkovich's character was great. The girl's character, the little girl, she was awesome.
Kids,
very incredible. Believable. So I thought it was good, and I think the story and her overall like character arc was good. But what I can't seem to understand is how it got so popular. So I obviously Netflix did a lot of advertising for this film. I mean, like, I'm talking, you know, billboards, commercials, you know, ads on YouTube. They did. I saw a compilation on YouTube where they got a bunch of like gamers and streamers like Shroud and, you know, Ninja, like people like that. I don't know if they did get Ninja, but I know they got Shroud and a bunch of other YouTubers to like Nadeshot to go do this like Bird Box experience, and they filmed it and they had them like posted on their channels and stuff. And what they did was they took them to this like a huge like tour bus, and inside the tour bus, they take them in, they set them down, and it's like one of those, not deprivation chambers, but like a senses. You hear things about, and you feel things, and they have like the blind. So they're sitting there inside there with the blindfold on, and then they just like hear stuff and like feel stuff. And it's so they're trying to get them hyped up for, you know, this movie about people that can't take their blindfold off. And so I think that helped a lot. But like, it seemed to be this wildfire spreading of Bird Box itself. You know, it came out, and the week before it was coming out, you know, it was anticipated, but then it was out, and then it was just everywhere. Memes, social media accounts. It was trending on Twitter. It was all over Facebook. I watched
Bird Box because of a meme.
I mean, I can't tell. Are you being serious?
No, I'm being dead serious. I saw a meme on Facebook.
Yeah. So like, you're seeing memes on Facebook, memes on Instagram, Reddit. I mean, all over the internet about this movie, you know, and the memes are hilarious, right? Like, there's so many really, really funny memes. It's like, one of my favorite ones was like, your girlfriend, when you make a solid point in an argument, and she has to respond, and it's just like Sandra Bullock in the boat with her blindfold on.
Yeah,
like,
with the blindfold on. Yeah.
Like, there's just so many really funny. So like, obviously that helps, but it brings me to like the point about social media and how strong of an influence social media is for things like movies, music, streamers, videos, like all of this stuff. If it catches the right wave of people posting it and retweeting it and memeing it and doing all this stuff, it can literally become viral. I mean, we talked obviously last week in the recap about all the things that happened in 2018 and the different viral trends and, you know, like the yodeling boy. I mean, imagine if I went to Walmart and recorded myself singing and posted it. 9 times out of 10, you know, the random person that does something stupid like that, it's just going to get ignored. You know, it's going to get ignored.
Oh, yeah, we could probably look up.
That's a bigger chance than that, Jack. That's a 999,000 out of.
Yeah.
No, like, we could probably go to YouTube right now and type in singing in Walmart and find millions of videos.
Yeah.
But that one just happened to do good. Yeah, I think, like, I would have to think in this day and age that marketing teams – go in with a big plan that they, like, you know, well, just starting from this thing, I told you guys that Netflix probably knows us better than anybody else. Like, they, based on what we watch, they don't give out any information. Like you said, it was astonishing that they even told us what happened with Bird Box, because like, I've heard, especially listened to the Rogan podcast that they talk about, you know, comedians, they put their stuff on Netflix. They don't even know how their own specials do.
Yeah.
They don't tell the people who put their stuff on Netflix how they're even doing. So let alone telling us what's going on with it. But Netflix, faux show, knows all that information.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think one of the things with Netflix is they have tons of great movies and hidden gems and stuff on there that people don't know about. Like, I was looking up today, like, the top 100 Netflix original movies of 2018, mm-hmm. because there are over 100 Netflix original movies like Bird Box and, you know, all these different things that came out that it was like, holy crap, I didn't hear about 90% of these. Like, there was only a couple that I even recognized.
Yeah, you should have heard about some of them because I trash 90% of Netflix original movies. The Bird Box is actually probably one of my first ones that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, is there was just so many that I was like, holy crap, I didn't realize that Netflix was putting out this much. So then, you know, you have these, you know, people like, I watch Netflix a ton. Like, I like going through shows and just binge watching things. But sometimes I'm like, I want to watch something new. Like, what's on there? And, you know, I'll kind of scroll through some different sections. But like, I knew a couple weeks before Bird Box was coming out, you know, it was a big thing on my screen. They were showing me the trailer. They were letting me know, hey, this is coming out. And you see like a big actor. Like, I remember when Bright was about to come out, they kind of did the same thing with it where they had the trailer for it. And I was like, oh, this looks really good. This Will Smith movie looks pretty cool. Like, I'm looking forward to it. And fuck you, because it was awesome.
It was terrible.
And it's fucking awesome. You. But so you got that aspect of it. But then, like I said, if a marketing team isn't using social media, using memes or anything like that, like, I would have to think that the first whole set of memes got sent out, like, they had the screen caps ready to go with blank captions that they go, all right, movie's been released, blast this stuff out. And they have people shooting that stuff out. If they didn't, they are dumb as shit. Because, like, that's such a huge – because that was most of what I got. Like, I knew that it was on Netflix and everything, but from being on Instagram, being on Facebook or anything like that, I was seeing the – and what's crazy is most of my Facebook is either, like, family members or – co-workers or people within like the real estate world, that they were all like real estate related memes concerning Bird Box. Like, it was it was really goofy, like old people type,
okay,
goofy ass memes, but that was a lot of what I was seeing with it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh my god, like, that's why I waited till today to watch it, because it was seriously getting shoved down my throat so hard from so many different angles.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
It was like the Titanic.
Wait, you just watched Bird Box today?
Today. Because I knew that we were going to talk about it tonight. I almost didn't watch it, and I was just going to go, no, it's another Titanic for me. Just too many people talking about it that I have no desire to watch it. I had zero desire to watch it. I forced myself to watch it today. And I enjoyed it. So, you know, kudos to that. But at the same time, like, it was getting shoved down my throat from so many different angles that it was crazy.
That's what she said.
But it was also, I felt like, you know, I didn't hear a lot in my, like, I'm 33, you know, and a guy. I didn't hear a lot of my demographic talking about it. There were a ton of middle-aged women talking about it. A ton.
It's because of Sandra Bullock.
And that was, yeah. Well, that was one of my biggest turnoffs. I was like, okay, the only people that I see commenting on this are middle-aged women. Like, is this movie made out towards them? But then, at, you know, once I started watching it, I could kind of see why it seemed to be good. You know, it had good numbers because it piqued the interest of the women. It was dark and crazy enough for guys to like that. It kind of bridged both. At the same time, like, it was a little bit scary that I am surprised that you did have that many people get into it. Cause I can tell you, like, it's one that my parents would never watch. Like, just, they would get through maybe 5 minutes and be like, no, fuck this movie. We don't like, you know, too scary, too violent, whatever. They're just not those kind of things. You know, they'll like their, like, we watched the new Mission Impossible the other day, mm-hmm. and, you know, that kind of thing, that's about as extreme as they'll get with things.
You know. Good old Tom Cruise on a motorcycle. That's pretty extreme.
Dude, the Mission Impossible movies can get pretty intense. There's some torture and, you know, fight scenes and stuff like that. But yeah, that's about as intense as we go. Jurassic Park is pushing limits, man. That's some Yikes. Scary shit right there.
Yeah. So again, with the social media, it's just crazy to me that, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? We talk about, you know, advertising and product placement, and these companies aren't stupid, right? They know their demographic. They know what they're doing. They know where their money is going. And it's crazy to me that something, you know, that comes out that they just funneled the right amount of money into the right places. And then it just happens to strike a chord with, you know, the memers or the this or the that. And it's like, it becomes almost like a cultural phenomenon. Whereas, you know, another movie comes out and everyone's like, oh yeah, it's really good. That's cool. You know, whatever. But it doesn't have anywhere near the effect. I mean, 45 million Netflix accounts across 7 days. It would have made more money in the theater just saying that everybody paid on an average $9 per ticket. It would have made more money than Star Wars in the first 7 days.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's insane. That is literally insane. Those numbers.
I'm telling you, Netflix is a hidden monster that is going to control the world. I mean, they can literally, I mean, they showed with this that they can tell us what to watch. They made that many people watch it, you know, because it's not like we got to see the movie. No, they made a 2-minute trailer and did some ads, and they got that many people to watch it just off of a 2-minute little freaking trailer and a little bit of advertising sprinkled around here and there. Like, they are monsters, like it in like the colossal sense, not in like that they're evil people or anything like that. I love my Netflix. Like, it's, I've been a part of them since I had to get DVDs mailed to me. Like, I've loved their whole, like, everything about them. But I could tell you at the same time, like, I got my eye on them because I'm telling you, it's got some sketchy shit. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
For sure. And it's something that, like, I don't know. I really like talking about, but it really, like, it makes me angry because it's just, it's this whole, like, corporate hive mind that it plays into. Like, they can just, whatever they want to do, whatever they want to put into the media, whatever they want to, you know, make popular, make trendy, whatever it is. Like, it just seems like there's this, like, overlord hive mind that's like, okay, this is going to be cool. This is what's going to, this is what's going to drive, you know, the younger generation to like or wear or listen to. It's like, and it just boggles my mind. And, you know, you always think back to, like, my parents when they're like, oh, when we were kids, we had this music X, Y. And they, like, thought, and then when they were kids, their parents thought that their music was wild. And then it's like, then they think that your music's wild, but then you grow up and you're like, holy shit, what are these kids listening to? You know what I mean? And it's like, you never thought that you would look at that, like, the younger generation and think the same thing that your parents thought about you when you were a kid. But it's literally, like, I mean, it's a parallel. It happens over and over and over again. It's just revolving.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because, like, you know, morality and, like, morals change and filters and all of this is, like, all, you know, we're breaking down boundaries and walls. And but, I mean, you know, you can be called whatever you want to be called. You can associate as whatever you want to associate with. If you're a guy and you'd rather, you know, associate as a plant, then you can become a plant. Like, it's okay. The world's your oyster. Literally, you can be an oyster. I mean, whatever you want to do. And so because of that,
I'm actually a clam.
it's crazy. And I just,
And
I think we just witnessed, you know, this, I want to say it's a phenomenon. It's not, because it's not the first or the last time that something like this will happen. But, you know, Bird Box, even though it was a movie, and it was a good movie at that, like, it was enjoyable, it was something more of a cultural event than it really was just a movie, you know? And, like, when we literally witnessed it. And I think that, you know, looking back on it, you know, a year from now, we're going to be like, man, that was so weird. It was just weird, you know? Yeah, the movie was cool, but, like, what happened to everybody? You know, like, it's just like, everybody's talking about it. Like you said, everybody's shoving it down your throat. There's just memes and pictures. And it's almost just like that Matrix thing where it's like, is everybody just, like, like brainwashed. Like everybody's just brainwashed and we're all just bird box, you know, kind of like the Futurama episode with the brain slugs.
Oh, I love that episode.
Everybody should go to the brain slug planet to get a brain
slug. Would you like to try this new hat? It will suit you.
Exactly. But that kind of like ties me into the other half of what I wanted to bring up, and that's Bandersnatch, right? So Bandersnatch was the flip side of the Netflix original release. Came out about a week later after Bird Box. And for those of you that don't know, Black Mirror is an excellent show. Always has like edgy and controversial topics in their episodes, and like really make you think and wonder. I really like it because it, like, in my opinion, it exposes a lot of actual issues that happen in, you know, in society for real.
Oh yeah.
And it's cool. So, but they released this new one, and it's called Bandersnatch, and it's the first choose your own adventure Netflix show, right? So you actually, on screen, you're prompted for different choices, and you actually choose the choices that the main character does, and that changes the course of the show or the movie, right? And
that's how the movie plays out.
So that you can end up with multiple different endings, and there's a bunch of different ways that you can watch the movie. And the concept in and of itself is excellent. I'm a big fan of choose your own adventure books. I mean, I love those whenever I was a kid, although I cheated a lot, of course. You always like keep your thumb where it was, and then you page forward just to see, like, if you die. I want to
just see what this is.
Right, I'm going to open this door. You page forward 100 pages, and it's like, there's a werewolf behind the door. It eats you. And you're like, oh, shit. And then you just like go back. You're like, oh, nope, I didn't actually choose that. My thumb's still here. But I'm a big proponent for that. I really like those kinds of things. I really like those kinds of games. Just finished Until Dawn last week. It was really, really awesome. Choose your own adventure.
Correct.
And just stuff like that's really cool because you get to see the consequences of your own choices and how it affects, you know, the story, butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Bandersnatch, I was looking forward to because of that. And, you know, I'm probably going to be, Luch, did you watch it?
No, I
okay,
didn't.
Okay, so you didn't actually watch it. So that's fine. But Josh did, and Josh and I, we're gonna fall on different sides of the coin on this one too. I was very disappointed. I thought that the concept was really, really cool, and I really, really wish that Black Mirror didn't Black Mirror it, and they they took their concept and they were just like, all right, this is a really awesome thing. We're gonna have the people choose what he does, and then we're going to make him aware of the fact that you're choosing what he does and completely break the fourth wall. And he's going to go crazy talking to you because he's not actually wanting to choose the things that you're choosing. And it's just like, ugh. It's like a big, like, ugh. Like, why? Why couldn't I just like, all right, I want him to eat Wheaties and him not be like, wait, I don't like Wheaties. Why do I want to eat Wheaties? It's like, because, you idiot, I'm making you eat Wheaties. Like, what do you mean? You don't got to contemplate every single time I make a choice. Just do it. I'm asking you to, like, I had the choice. I chose it. Just do it. You don't need to, like, fight me on this. This is not how this is supposed to go. So, like, it really takes you out of the experience. So I watched through, you know, we watched through, Nicole and I watched through the first one, making the choices. And then we're just like, okay, so that didn't work. And then I thought for one of them, like, if you didn't make a choice, it would just like do something else. Like sometimes like doing nothing is a choice, but that's not the case. You always got to pick something.
No, automatically pick something.
Or it picks it for you. And then like that ruined one ending and we were like, okay, that's stupid. And then so we like went back and did it again and we chose the other one. And then that took us to another ending. And we're just like, man, this is, but the whole time you're making these choices and he's literally like, he's like fighting you. Like he doesn't want to do it. And I'm just like, bruh, that's not how this works. You're in the, and what
have you,
and what makes it even worse. And then I'll let you rebuttal. What makes it worse is that the episode itself is about a choose your own adventure game. It's about the guy building a choose your own adventure game based on a choose your own adventure book in which the guy who wrote the book ended up going insane and killing himself. So like, it's like this big Black Mirror rabbit hole of this. You're doing the same thing that the, Did you get the the ending where like it's the girl?
I did all the
endings. So like the girl is actually writing the, she's doing a Netflix show about the thing. So like it's like a, it breaks the wall again, and you're like, you get taken out another perspective where it's like the girl making the TV episode about him making the game, and then she like, she goes crazy, and I'm just like, oh my god, please, why?
But like, see, have you guys heard of a game called Stanley Parable? Yes. Have you played it? All right, that's how I feel Bandersnatch should have gone. So I know you kind of, from what you explained to me on Bandersnatch, like I can see what you mean by it taking you out of the loop. If it didn't try to make it seem like there wasn't that kind of perspective to begin with. So Stanley Parable has a narrator, you know, Stanley was in the middle of his work. He clicked the green button. And then you could choose whether to click the green button, click the red button, or just leave. And then the narrator would be like, Stanley must have something in his ears. He did not hear me. He turned around, sat in his chair, and clicked the green button. And you could do that, or you could keep on walking. And then if they kind of did that, that I feel like would have been a better Black Mirror.
I don't know. See, even that, just like, you put me in the driver's seat of the adventure. You're having me choose. I want the main character who I'm playing as to make the choices. I'm playing as him. So if I tell this, in this case, the main character's name is Stefan. If I tell Stefan to, you know, get up and go downstairs instead of, you know, chucking his computer out the window, I want him to get up and go downstairs because I know that that's the better choice than chucking his computer out the window. But what does he do?
Yeah.
He doesn't do that. He sits there and twitches like he wants to chuck his computer out the window. And he's like, why can't I chuck my computer out the window? And I'm like, no, you're not supposed to know that I'm controlling you. You're just supposed to do it because I know better. I'm the one that's controlling the story. It's my adventure. It's not yours, Stefan. You're just a character. You're a character in the movie that I'm making. I'm making the movie. You sit there and do what I say. But that's not what happens. And it's no. Black Mirror had to Black Mirror it, and they had to make it edgy. Yeah, poorly.
Well, and that's the thing. And this is why you're wrong. no, it's because, like you said, it's. I completely understand what you're saying, that there, with it being the first time, well, there honestly, there is a little Minecraft story, choose your own adventure thing, I think in the kids section, because my kids saw it. We started to do it, but did something else because it was like a go to bed time and I didn't want to actually playing a game or anything mm-hmm. late at night or anything like that. You know, with it being the first time that we were going to have a choose our own adventure, it would have been really cool to have a super in-depth, like you said, choose your own adventure with lots of different possibilities that you could really run with it and create your own unique movie that few viewers were going to be able to see like you. But that's not Black Mirror. Black Mirror, when I watch an episode of Black Mirror, my jaw is normally on the floor. I'm normally trying to piece together the puzzle that they just kicked over in my head. Like there's all this stuff that it's generally fucked up in my head after watching an episode. Like some of the most mind fucking things I've ever seen in my life have been in different Black Mirror episodes. There's just been some crazy, crazy stuff. And that's what's made me enjoy them so much. So to me, when I was watching it and it's because it's, they do it very slow where he starts fighting you. Cause in the beginning, yeah, you're picking the cereal and it's like, and I was wondering, okay, how's this going to play a part? And yeah, you get to see like a commercial on TV later where it shows whatever cereal you picked in the very beginning, but that's it. But it's as things progress later and later on that he starts going, like, I feel like I'm making these decisions, but I don't know why I'm making these decisions. I don't feel like I want to do that, but I feel like I'm being pushed that way. And you're like, wait, does he realize that I'm doing that? Like Black Mirror is really good at doing that. And maybe it didn't translate over well to like you as it was happening because you were expecting something else. To me, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to get out of it. I was just, when I started watching it, I was like, I want to go through every scenario that I possibly can. I want to have fun with this. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Black Mirror and this idea is really cool. And so I just start going through it. And so when he starts realizing what's going on, he starts fighting back on it. You tell him to do something and he hesitates towards doing it. And then you tell him to do something else. And he just flat out denies you. It's like, damn, that's, you know, it really made you think or try to figure out like, hey, am I, you know, reaching into this reality and am I fucking with someone right now or whatever. Like that's the kind of fun stuff that I like doing with Black Mirror. That it just,
I think that
I know what you were looking for and it just, it wasn't supposed to be that. And I think going into it, hoping it was going to be that sucked because it, you know,
for being the first adult version of a choose your own adventure movie, for them to do that, I feel like isn't very fair. Like it's not fair to like that.
If it were someone else, with it being Black Mirror, like you said, Black Mirror.
Yes.
Like they did exactly what you expect Black Mirror to do.
Which sucks. This situation, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. I think that if, say, it was just a Netflix original called Bandersnatch and you went through and you got to like pick all the different things because it was a choose your own adventure story, like about him making this choose your own adventure game, I think it could have been really cool just to like go through and have different endings.
Oh yeah.
And like he just
if
did
it were a Netflix original movie that said it was gonna do a choose your own adventure and that's what it did, like I would expect it to be a badass choose your own adventure. The fact that it was Black Mirror, it did exactly what I expected Black Mirror to do, which was catch me off guard with something that I wasn't really expecting. Now, I mean, I wouldn't say that just the overall story, it wasn't incredible. Like, you know, so there were some parts that I think that they tried doing so much stuff with it that overall it wasn't the best thing that they put out.
That's what I mean. It's like they go to so great lengths to Black Mirror it that it's just like, at what point you're just like, I'm okay. I'm over the fact that you're trying so hard to be edgy, you know?
No, but at the same time with Black Mirror, it's the reason that I love the show is because some do fall flat. But at the end of it, when I watch a season that has like 10 episodes or whatever, I will find maybe even 4 that I thought were really good. And the other ones I'm like, give or take. I could care less if I ever watch that one again. But the ones that I liked, I liked.
Yeah.
And it was like, damn, that was good. That was like, it was so powerful. It was just, it made me think, like I would think about it for days on end, like, holy crap, I never thought about that before. Or, oh my God, that's freaking terrifying. I mean, some of the thing, like putting the consciousness in an inanimate object, you know, did you ever see that one? It was, I think, the season finale of season 3.
I'm not sure.
Where it was the museum of devices or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the guy's giving the girl the tour of it. And there's one where they put a person's conscious. The person was basically in a coma. They want to keep them going on and existing in life. But we scientifically, we haven't figured out how to do that. We can't bring the person out of the coma, but what we could do is we could put it into an object that's able to communicate with us a little bit. So that way we know that they're still alive. They're doing different things here and there. Oh my God, that goes so terrifyingly wrong that like I thought about that for weeks on end. It's like, that is could be the deepest form of torture that you could do to a person. Yeah. Like it's crazy, crazy stuff that they have in some of these different episodes that, yeah, like with this one, I wouldn't say it's like incredibly groundbreaking or anything like that. I enjoyed it. But at the same time, like you guys can tell, I'm a huge Black Mirror fan. I love their stuff. But at the same time, there were episodes that I think just sucked.
Yeah.
And there are other ones that I think are incredible. This one was kind of in the middle for me. I liked it. Like I liked it a lot. But, you know, I wouldn't say, like, it was the best thing.
Would we rather have Bandersnatch or Season 5?
Season 5. Wait, there is 5 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
There's already 5 seasons.
Wait, is it Season 5 or Season 6? Yeah, sorry, season six. I'd rather have a new season than them keep
going. I would rather have a new season of individual episodes from them that are all Black Mirrors, that are all freaking weird.
I think that they were, you know,
choose your own adventure movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they were trying to be, they were just trying out new stuff, that which I think is cool. I think it's neat, you know, because I mean, each of their episodes are done by different directors. They have different writers. You know, they're trying out stuff, that some things are hit and some things are missed. And like with that one, I liked the fact that they were trying something new. You know,
it seems like a producer from EA went over to Netflix and were like, you know, it would be great in this type of movie, DLC microtransactions. It's like, why would they even make that? Like, who? I don't know if they're trying to be innovative or cash grab. I don't know what exactly that thing is, but it wasn't good, Josh.
What are you talking about specifically?
Bandersnatch.
Oh, but you didn't watch it. See it.
No, the concept of it.
The concept is good.
Your homework, Luke, your homework is to go watch at least one ending.
This is from my experience playing, you know, as you go adventure games. I've done the thing. I've even done the books.
Have you seen any Black Mirror episodes, though?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Really?
Yes. Go ahead. Name one.
Hang the DJ.
Which one is that?
That's one of my favorite ones from this past season.
Which one is that? Because I'm pretty sure we
That's the dating program
one. Oh, bro. That one... Is that that's the like, one where see, they have like the time left on their?
Yeah, so it's basically it's calculating the time that's
so,
left
so,
that you
oh,
have.
So they have the date, right? They have the great date, and then the rest of the episode is you watch him thinking about the girl and watching her and him like go bang other people while they're thinking about each other for like an hour.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
See, now you know what was a good episode was the video game one.
Yes, I think that was
the reality video or the conscience game
playtest from season three. Yes, that one was really
almost
cool.
Almost every single episode, Josh, I promise you. That, and I don't know why it was kind of weird, the cockroach robot dog thing
that was
went
dope.
Metalhead
that one was
from
dope.
Season four. Yeah. Yes,
I like
that one. That one was really
that one
cool.
was like interesting.
That one reminds that me one of the Tom Selleck movie from I think the late 80s. I'm not going to be able to, I'm going to have to look it up. Chives, can we, you haven't done anything for like 3 weeks, Chives. So you have been like on vacation. Can we get some, I can't remember, but anyway, it was like, they had these like AI robot, like spiders that they would like send in. And the bad guy was like controlling them.
Chives has just put Runaway. Does that sound familiar?
Was it Runaway?
1984?
Yes, Runaway. And yeah, the main bad guy, like he controls all of these like artificial intelligent like robots and stuff. And they're these like little spiders that like poison you.
What the? Oh my God. So Chimes just showed me a picture of these things, right? Did Transformers steal like their Decepticon ideas from these things? Look at that thing. It looks like that little robot from the first
one. Oh, that's right. The bad guy is Gene Simmons. He literally plays the villain. It's amazing.
That's funny.
Malfunctioning robots. And a robot turns out to have been programmed to kill. He begins to uncover a homicidal plot to create killer robots. Dude, it's dope. That's an awesome movie. But anyway, that episode of Black Mirror reminds me a lot about, like, reminds me a lot of that because of the robots. It's freaky though, man.
Yeah.
They're like assassin murderers.
And then all they were doing was getting a teddy bear.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, but I could definitely go through a lot. Man, we should have like a Black Mirror specific episode. But I'm going to recruit some guests that actually like the show instead of you assholes that want to
like
me
online. I like the show. I do.
Josh, just the concept of the go along adventure game on a movie that tells you when the character is doing something that they wouldn't normally do. Like, the only if they took out that concept, then it would have been a lot better.
Yeah. What I want you to do is watch at least one thing. It takes like 20.
I will play through it. I will play through it, but I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, at least one, just so you can, like, you know, have the actual experience of it. So ultimately, the giant question is, and again, so the Bandersnatch version of the, you know, the Bird Box debate was, so this comes out a week later, right? Doesn't really have the same, you know, social media blast. So it's not nowhere as big as Bird Box is, but you have, you know, a show or a movie, you know, spatial reasoning, you know, coming into play, like which do you choose? And then, you know, you're making these choices. Is Netflix collecting information about these choices that you're making? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, are, cause you're choosing to like kill this guy, bury this guy. Are you chopping this guy up? Are you burying him out back? Like all of this, these choices that you're making.
It's a social experiment.
Yeah. Like what is going on behind this, you know, behind the scenes of this choose your own adventure, movie. Right. And,
yeah, I mean, I definitely think one of the biggest thing, you know, with the difference being that Black Mirror is designed for specific people's taste, where with Bird Box, that one, you put Sandra Bullock on the front and make it look like a movie that's interesting enough for a girl or a guy, where it's not a miscongeniality,
right?
Where like a guy's going to look at it and go, oh, damn, it's a chick flick. I'm going to have to watch this with my girl. No, it's one that guys and girls could both look at and go, oh, damn, that could be pretty cool. Where Black Mirror, I think if you showed it to a panel of like 100 guys and 100 girls, that it's more, you know, the nerdy eclectic sci-fi guy and girl type thing compared to just an everybody type thing. And a Sandra Bullock movie is generally an everybody type thing. Like my parents, even though, like I said, they probably wouldn't make it through that movie, that would be one that they would possibly start. They would check out a trailer for it to see if they would like it. With Bandersnatch, they probably had zero desire to watch it. Would never watch it. No, it's just, it didn't have anyone that I recognize. Well, actually it had,
the guy that played Colin is in a bunch of,
yeah. It has, the weird eyebrow guy.
Yeah.
That's, like, he looks like, that's basically
from,
it.
Like, he looks like Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah. But that's the most famous actor you had in, you know, the whole thing.
Which is good.
So, yeah, you have some differences there that I definitely wouldn't expect. That it's almost impossible to compare.
The ultimate question, is Bird Box versus Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Who wins?
I definitely enjoyed Bandersnatch more.
Okay. My vote obviously goes to Bird Box for a more compelling story, even though horror movie logic is lost on that.
And because you like Dads to Die.
I don't like Dads to Die. Not at all. Why would I like Dads to Die?
That was one of the only
parts in the whole movie that I didn't like. Not that they killed him.
Yeah.
I thought that the killing him was just pointless because it's like, okay, you just want to get rid of them so that they can have the powerful mom and kids moment. I get it. Whatever.
Yeah.
My issue with the scene was how he fought the horror for just a split second long enough to kill the guy. Nobody else in the whole world has been able to do that except for him right in that convenient moment when he needed to shoot that crazy person.
Jack, that was not a split second. Turns around for 5 seconds, looks at the guy, takes another 5 seconds to raise his gun, and then shoots
him. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he looked at it, he went crazy, he should have just shot himself.
But Jack, the power of love.
Yeah, no.
His drive.
The power. That's crazy because throughout the entire thing, like you heard people being like, "Mom," like the power of love didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was probably my.
And I was just favorite. I was using it as a joke as well because of what happened to the dad in Bandersnatch.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
A thousand times worse. It's like, holy crap, that gash is so realistic.
Yeah.
So freaking realistic. It's one of the best that I've seen.
Brutal.
I give them 5 stars
It did kind of interest me that he did die anyways when he saw it through a computer monitor.
Oh yeah.
I thought that
was, you talking about the guy from Jurassic Park?
Yeah. I just thought that was like I'm just impressed that it traveled through
yeah.
a computer monitor.
My vote goes again, like I said, to Bird Box for being a overall more well-rounded movie, and not for,
I have to give it to Bird Box.
Yeah, not
too,
for yeah. the eclectic.
You never saw Bandersnatch.
I guarantee you, I will not like Bandersnatch as much as I like Bird Box.
No, and that's cool, and that's why
go play Grognak the Barbarian.
I am a Black Mirror and a Bandersnatch kind of guy. That's just the kind of person I am. I like things a little bit weird and different, and I am happy with that.
You also like your women sassy and your shirt sleeveless. So you go sit in the corner, Josh.
But yeah.
Funny. Wow. Well, we talked a long time about Bird Box and Bandersnatch, and do you guys have anything to add before I wrap it up?
I probably did, and I think I've lost it all at this point. I don't know. Could you anything that you know about on Netflix coming up or that's good that you've seen recently that you want to anything like that. Like, I mean, while we're on the topic of Netflix.
Netflix-wise, not really.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. 2019. I will say, I will take this time to plug the fact that Punisher Season 2 comes out on January 18th. It's literally
perfect example.
In 10 days, and I cannot be more excited.
Oh, yeah. Very excited about that. I would also love for anyone listening to kind of give us feedback if there's another show that you would like to debate with us. If you would like to be a guest and come on here and talk Black Mirror with us on an episode, I would love to get some other people to put in my corner to help fight these haters.
You keep saying haters like I don't like Black Mirror when I like Black Mirror a lot. You're just mad because
team,
I didn't.
It's, yeah, didn't you just like keep saying Bandersnatch. Yeah. We love Black Mirror. Why stop saying we hate Black Mirror?
I love Black Mirror. I just didn't like Bandersnatch.
Well, no, I made the mention of Hang the DJ, and Jack was like, oh, yeah, that was fucking dumb.
No.
And that one, yeah. I love. I just thought it was...
because of, like, it's like this, like love story, but they just, like, show them sleeping with, like, whoever for, like, 45 minutes. It's stupid.
What episode had, like, the most, like...
No, like, you know, there's an app now that I saw. There's an app that you can get on your phone that does almost the same exact thing that this Black Mirror, that I'm pretty sure that they got the idea from the Black Mirror episode, that it connects you with someone randomly. It pairs you for a certain amount of time gathering information. And then based on the information that it gathers from you being set up on this quote unquote date with that person, that'll then connect you to someone else. And it's supposed to be like a pretty in-depth algorithm.
Interesting.
Yeah, like that it's pretty spot on to this. I would also love at some point to talk about, I think it was the first episode in season 3 where they had the social media credit score.
Oh yeah.
That's actually going on in China right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's flat out.
Jack, you might want to like, do an episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're like testing that stuff. Like, I don't know how far it's going there.
You're talking about the one with the girl from Jurassic Park, right? The one that plays Claire. Yeah. Yeah, where they like swipe up on everybody.
Yeah. Well, basically, you have a social media score, and how popular and how likable you are is an additional credit score along with like your FICO score.
Yeah.
So you want to get approved for something, you want
to
live in a certain community.
You have to
if
have
your
high rating.
Social media score isn't high enough rank that you get denied from being able
but
to have
there,
access.
There
to
isn't
that.
Much too much information on that yet. So we need to research
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
it's something, Jack, I think you would be
yeah,
interested
definitely.
In.
Yeah, definitely. Now that you know about that, I will definitely look into that and I will tell you all of the horrors about it.
Remember the Black Mirror episode with the kid who was like a pedophile? But then the guys were making him do all this stuff.
The shut up and dance.
It was putting me through this emotional roller coaster. I was like, what is on with this kid? What? He masturbated. So what? And then it was like, oh.
The end to that one felt like getting shot in the stomach with a shotgun. That one was crazy.
I was like, what is going on right now? Like, kid, it's not that bad.
We can't keep going on this Black Mirror thing, because I tell you, I could talk about this shit all fucking night. We'll have a special episode. We'll get some guests on. So if you would like to be a guest on the Black Mirror episode, hit us up so we can get all this stuff coordinated and everything, because I think that would be a fun night.
Yes, I agree. I think we can do that. I really was excited to talk about The Bird Box versus Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Because they both came out right around the holidays. I was really looking forward to kind of just looking at not only the movies themselves, but also the kind of mind game that kind of came with it with Bandersnatch and the social media uproar that came with Bird Box. And that's it. I think that Black Mirror in it of itself is the final boss of level 15 that Luch and I defeated, at least. I don't know about you. You're still under the grips of Black Mirror. So I don't know if you actually get to pass level 15 and beat them.
I'll stay back here for a little while. Catch you guys next week.
I guess that might be the case. But I hope you enjoyed, everyone listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it.
And we'll hope that you see us for level 16 of the Jack and Luch show.
Since Josh will still be hanging around in level 15, if he can ever beat the boss, we'll let you know.
Later, taters.
That's it. From all of us here, we'll see you next week.
Later, guys.